Good morning. Welcome. I would invite you to open your Bible, if it's in printed form or if you have it in digital form on a device, that you would join me in 2 Timothy chapter 1. We're going to look at verses 3 through 7. In this message, I've entitled Jesus Wants Faithfulness from Us. In this series, Followers of Jesus, Becoming and Being a Christian. One of the greatest enemies of mankind is fear. During World War II, a little-known catastrophe occurred in India because of fear. The Bengal rice famine. From October 1942 until October of 1943, somewhere between 2 and 4 million people died of starvation in India. They didn't die because of a lack of food. They died because the government acted on fear rather than fact. The local government in the Bengal area was afraid that the Japanese would invade their country, just as they had already invaded Singapore and Burma. In reaction to this threat, decisions were made by local Muslim leaders to move the bulk of rice and foodstuffs to Calcutta, which was viewed as more defensible. That decision left millions in the rural areas without adequate food supplies. The Japanese never came. And before it was over, millions were dead of starvation, most of whom, ironically, were also Muslims. They died because crops were hoarded to avoid them from getting into the hands of an enemy that never came. They died because of fear. Fear is the great immobilizer. It has kept many people from accomplishing all they were called to do in God's kingdom. Fear caused the Israelites to grumble and complain as God was about to deliver them from Pharaoh's advancing army. Fear froze the armies of Israel before Goliath. Fear caused the disciples to wake Jesus from his sleep during a storm. Fear caused Peter to deny Jesus after his arrest. Fear is the enemy of faith and faithfulness in service to the Lord. And yet, men and women throughout history have accomplished great things for God despite fear. Timothy was the Apostle Paul's son in the ministry. The apostle had worked hard to develop him into the person he would need to be to assume the responsibilities he would one day inherit. As Paul sat in a cold and damp prison cell, facing death by order of Nero, he was preoccupied with one thing: the forward movement of the gospel and the kingdom of God. And so Paul told Timothy the essential things he needed to know to carry on with the work. The picture we get from the apostle's letters is that Timothy was shy, timid, and fearful by nature. He would seem to be an unlikely candidate to assume the mantle of Paul. But God doesn't see things as man sees them. Man looks at outward appearances, God looks at the heart. God sees us not based on what we can do, but based on what He will do through us. If you've ever felt inadequate for the task, if fear of failure has ever gripped you, if your passion for serving God has weakened, if you've ever felt useless in God's kingdom, Paul's second letter to Timothy is for you. There's a message for you in today's scripture passage. And I want you to notice four things our text says will help us overcome fear and remain faithful. First, we overcome fear and remain faithful by reassurance. Look at verses 3 and 4 of 2 Timothy chapter 1. I thank God whom I serve with a pure conscience, as my forefathers did, as without ceasing I remember you in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy. This letter is very personal. Paul loved Timothy as a son and wrote to him as a father. He began with reassurance and words of encouragement. Paul wrote some things to Timothy in these two verses, several ways to reassure one another. Gratitude. I thank God for you. It's encouraging to know that someone appreciates what God has done through you and is thankful for you. Paul was grateful to God for Timothy, for his ministry, and for his friendship. When was the last time you thanked God for a particular Christian he placed in your life? When was the last time you told someone that you were grateful to God for him or her? So gratitude. Also, faithfulness. I remember you in my prayers. Paul was quick to let Timothy know that he was praying for him. Fear brings doubts. Doubts about yourself. Doubts about others. And doubts about God. Just knowing that someone is taking you before God is reassuring and encouraging. Fellowship. I desire to see you. It's been a long time since Paul and Timothy have been together. Facing death, Paul told Timothy that it would be nice to see him again, to talk about all God had done and was doing. Paul had been used greatly by God, but he needed the comfort his friendship with Timothy provided him. And then empathy. I am mindful of your tears. Anyone who spent much time in ministry understands that the going gets tough. The stress, the strain, the disappointments, the difficulties can lead to tears. Acts chapter 20 is the part of it toward the end is a time when Paul knew he was going to be going to prison, that he knew that there were chains ahead, he said, in his ministry as he was on his way to Jerusalem, and he stopped outside of Ephesus, and the leaders of the church came out to meet with him. In verses 36 to verse 38, and when they had said these things, he knelt down and prayed with them all. Then they all wept freely and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spoke, that they would see his face no more. And they accompanied him to the ship. It's encouraging to know that others understand what we're going through. And then blessing. That I may be filled with joy. Paul saw Timothy as one of the blessings God had given him. He wanted Timothy to know that he counted him among God's blessings. Let me ask you, how does it affect you when someone drops you a note and tells you that God has used you to bless their lives? We overcome fear and remain faithful by reassuring one another. Second, We overcome fear and remain faithful by remembrance. Look at verse 5. When I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also. As humans, we have a great capacity to forget. We forget that we're not where we are simply because of our own efforts. We forget what others have done for us. We forget what God has done for us. When we forget what God has done for us, we're tempted to believe that God has never used us and never will use us. It's easier to be faithful to God when we remember His faithfulness to us. The old hymn says, when upon life's billows you are tempest-tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Paul pointed Timothy back to things in his life which demonstrate God's hand on him and his ministry. Two things: his genuine faith. And the Greek word for genuine literally means non-hypocritical. In other words, Paul was saying to Timothy, the faith I've observed in you is the real thing. Maybe Timothy had begun to doubt his salvation, or perhaps he had begun to question whether God had really called him to ministry. But Paul was saying, Timothy, I've seen a lot of Christians in my day, and from my experience, from my observation, you've got the real thing. Yours is the genuine article. His genuine faith and his godly family. Timothy grew up in a Christian home. His mother and grandmother were both believers who had taught the scriptures to Timothy from an early age. Paul reminded him that this was part of God's blessing. The apostle wanted Timothy to remember that God had been working his plan even before Timothy was born. We overcome fear and remain faithful by remembering God's work. And third, we overcome fear and remain faithful by rekindling. Look at verse 6. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. Doubts and fears tend to cause us to let the flame of passion, the fire for action, burn low in our lives. The Greek word translated stir up literally means keep the fire alive. Let me suggest a few things which will add fuel to your fire and keep it burning bright. Be strong in your walk. Fellowship with God keeps us connected to the fire source. God gives us other Christians to hold us accountable, to encourage us, to exhort us. Be spiritual in your worship. It should always be personal and intimate. Worship should always reflect our love for God. Study God's Word. It is impossible to keep the fire alive apart from time in the Word of God. Jeremiah 20 and verse 9 says, His Word was in my heart like a burning fire shut up in my bones. And be steady in your work. Keep your priorities what they need to be. There are many good things to do, but God directs us into what is best. Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 3. Commit your works to the Lord, and your thoughts will be established. So we overcome fear and remain faithful by rekindling the fire within us. And then fourth, we overcome fear and remain faithful by reliance. Verse 7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. The strength of man will always work to bring fear, but there's always someone bigger, someone better, someone stronger. One of the reasons so many Christians give in to fear is because they look at things from the perspective of their humanity. Can I do it? Can I afford it? Those are questions based in fear. The answer is often, well, no. If you can do it without supernatural strength, it's probably not of God. What is not of faith is not of God. God does not call us to do things which we can accomplish without Him. We're told that we have been enabled by the Holy Spirit with power, a force of character which allows you to serve Him in His name, with love, which does what is best for others, even if that is not always the popular thing to do. We are to serve God and others with a heart of love, with a sound mind. Ministry always requires self-discipline, good judgments, and sound decisions. Let me give you an application of this message as we conclude this series on becoming and being a Christian as followers of Christ. Be an encourager. Look around you. Notice the people God has brought into your life. And you'll see those who need a word of encouragement. Those who are paralyzed by fear and doubt. And be mindful of the past. Look at where you are now and where you've been before. You may be in a difficult place, but you've been in difficult times before. You may be in a difficult place now, but God has always been faithful. And He will be in the future. He will accomplish in you all He has planned. Be active in the present. The only way to overcome fear is by exercising your faith. And faith without action is not really faith. God is telling you to step out in faith and be reliant on the Spirit. Our success is not based on what we can do, but rather on what we know God can do through us as we yield to the Holy Spirit and trust in His strength. Trusting in your own strength will lead towards failure. Exercising your faith will lead towards victory. Trust in God. Rely on His Spirit, and He will use you in ways that you cannot imagine. Will you pray with me? Father, thank You for Your Word. Thank You for this message that You call us to faithfulness. Lord, as we conclude this series on becoming and being Christians, being followers of Jesus, Father, may we take these truths and apply them to our lives, and may we be faithful in trusting You and serving You. In the name of our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I just pray that you would speak to each one of us, that you would speak to our hearts, do business with us, those of us that are here, those of us that are online, listening, watching. Father, I just pray that you would speak to us and that you would draw us into just a special intimacy doing business with us before your throne. And Father, we just place this all before you for your kingdom's sake, for your glory. And it's in Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. You have a great day.